Amen. Psalm chapter 4. And I got a little thought on the heart tonight, and I want to share it with you, if I may. Psalm chapter 4. I'm just glad you have victory in Jesus tonight. I'm going to tell you something tonight. You can't lose with Jesus. It don't matter how deep the valley is, how dark the valley is. If he's with you in that valley, honey, I'm telling you, you can't lose. Amen. You can't lose. Psalm chapter 4, the Bible said, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Father, I need your help tonight. You know in my heart, Lord, that I want to be a blessing to your dear people. I pray, God, you'd make my life, make this message a blessing. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight to stand in awe of your goodness, to stand in awe of your grace, to stand in awe, our Father, of your glory. Lord, we pray that, Lord, the day will come, and I know, Lord, it won't happen exactly like it again, but Lord, the glory of the Lord filled the house. God, I pray you'd fill your house with your glory. Help us, Lord, to see him who is invisible. And Lord, we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Take your Bibles, turn back to Genesis with me tonight. I want to show you a man in the Word of God that I believe in my heart knew what it was to stand in awe. Olivia brought me a little Bible marker a while ago, and I've already put it to use. Amen. She'd be proud of Papaw. Amen. Amen. Sawyer crawled up in my lap a while ago. He said, Papaw, remember when I was a baby how I used to lay my head on your chest and you would rub my back? I didn't know he could remember that, but evidently he did. Amen. I think he wanted another dose of that, Brother Gary. Amen. Amen. Charity told me that she was worried that if I could ever love a second child like I loved that first one. I tell you, you don't have to worry about them grandchildren, Brother Steve. Let them keep coming. Amen. You'll love every one of them. Every one of them. I promise you will. I want to look at Abraham for a few minutes tonight. I believe Abraham was a man that knew what it was to stand in awe of the God of heaven. Over in chapter number 12 is where I'd like to begin tonight and just look at some scripture here. And I'm going to be looking scripture between here and chapter 22. But I just want to just kind of challenge our hearts and challenge our minds tonight. When I read this yesterday morning, I read it again today, but I read it yesterday morning. I don't know that I really picked up on it, Brother Rose, but I know that in my prayer life, many, many times I've asked God to bless me. And there's been many times, Brother Gary, that I've said, God, if you don't bless me, then I can't be a blessing. And God, I want to be a blessing. You see, if you ask God to bless you, that could sound like a selfish thing. You understand what I mean? But if you realize, Brother Rose, you ain't got nothing for them. Listen, he gives it to you. You ain't got nothing. That might not be good English, but it's good preaching. Amen. Look what the Word of God said. The Bible said, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Here's the principle again. God didn't say, let me show you this land, then you can make up your mind where you're going to go or not. God said, you just come on out. Come on out from your family. Come on out from your kindred, and I'm going to show you the land. I believe God honors faith, don't you? The Word of God said, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. I want to say, first of all, in the message tonight, that I believe that Abram, he's not Abraham yet, he's still Abram, stood in awe, Brother Steve, of his call. Brother Steve, how many men have gotten over the fact that God called them I'm talking about, first of all, the call of salvation. Amen? Now listen, preachers have a call. I still believe, listen to me, that you don't volunteer to preach. I believe it's a call of God on a man's life. Amen? But listen, not only does God call preachers, but He calls missionaries. He calls people to different parts of service, even in the church. And I wonder sometimes if we shouldn't go back in our minds and remember when He called us. You remember when He spoke to you? You remember when He told you, you're a sinner and you need to be saved? You remember when He told you, I love you? Remember when He told you, if you'll just come to me, I'll take care of it. Amen? And I believe Abram stood in awe of the call of God on his life. The Word of God said here, I'll make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. I'll make thy name great. Watch this now. I never picked up on this. And thou shalt be a blessing. Now, how many of y'all want to be a blessing? Say amen. Well, we ought to realize tonight, to be a blessing, glory to God, what we need to do is get hooked up with the blesser. Amen. And if we'll stand in awe of Him, I'm going to tell you tonight, so many times people put the emphasis throughout their life on the blessing and forget about the blesser that's handing out the blessings. Amen. Abram didn't do that. Watch this now. He said, I'll bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee, and in thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed. How many of you were encouraged when the president moved the capital to Jerusalem? It's been promised for years and years and years and years and years. And a man gets in office and somewhere or another he just don't, well, I'll be honest with you. Not too many men get in office and do what they said they were going to do before they got in. Amen. Some of them, because their hands are tied, I understand that. But I'm telling you, some of them do just the opposite of what they say they're going to do. And they're snakes in the grass. Amen. But anyway, I want you to see a man that's willing. I see a willing man. You remember what we said on, I believe it was Sunday morning, in Psalm chapter 4, we saw someone that would trust God. We saw someone that would talk to God, and we saw someone that would triumph in the things of the Lord. I believe that's what we're seeing in Abram tonight. We're seeing someone that trusts God, as somebody that doesn't have to have it all explained. The Word of God said in verse number 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. I don't believe it was easy, so to speak, for a man of Abram's age and stature just to pull up roots and go. But he did exactly what God wanted him to do. And Abram took Sarai's wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth into the land of Canaan. Into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem and the plain of Moab. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. Now I want you to see this. Abram was not only willing to trust God, but he was willing to talk to God. Let me show you quickly. In verse number 7 right here, there builded he an altar unto the Lord. Look at verse number 8. And he removed from thence unto the mountain in the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east, and there builded an altar unto the Lord. I want to say this to you tonight. Listen, I want to say it kindly. But we're not going to stand in awe if we don't build us an altar. Say amen. There got to be a place. Listen, when we read the Word of God, God speaks to us. But it can't be a one-sided conversation. The conversation needs to go backwards and forwards, back and forth, back and forth. And when we pray, we're talking to the God of heaven, the one that knows what we need even before we ask. But he said to ask, thou shalt receive. He's willing to talk to God. In Genesis 12:7, he builds an altar. In Genesis 12:8, he builds an altar. Look in Genesis 13:4. Abram had got down there in Egypt, and he got in a little bit of trouble down there and kind of lied about his wife. But he comes back, and the Word of God said, unto the place of the altar, which he had made at the first. He returned to the altar. In verse number 18 of chapter number 13, the Word of God said that Abram removed his tent, came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. I believe it's important tonight that we realize that if we're going to stand in awe of the God of heaven, it's not going to take place outside of an altar. We have to have a place where we trust God and a place where we talk to Him. We'll be returning there in a little bit, but go to Genesis chapter number 22 just for a moment. The Word of God said in verse number 9, and they came to the place, this is talking about when He took Isaac up on the mount, that God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Listen to me. When the test came, this is a test. In Genesis chapter number 22, I want you to take your son, your only son. I'll say more about it after a while. But when the test came, here was a man that was already familiar with the altar. Some people wait until the test comes, and then they want to run and build an altar. But here's a man that already knew the importance of the altar in his life. I believe it's important to see tonight. So Abram was a willing man. He's willing to trust God. He's willing to talk to God. And when a man will do that, it leads a man to a place where he can triumph in the things of God. We said on Sunday morning, I believe, that the Apostle Paul said, thanks be to God, which always causes me to triumph in our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, there were times when Paul didn't look like he was winning, but he was winning because the Lord was in control in his life, and the Lord was making out of him the man that God wanted him to be. Let me give you a couple things quickly. Let's turn to Genesis chapter number 18, looking at Abraham. I said that Abram was a willing man. The second thing I want us to see in the Scripture tonight, a man that will stand in awe of the God of heaven, is Abram is a worthy man. Look what the Bible said in Genesis chapter number 18 and verse number 17 down through verse number 19. Abraham is called the friend of God. But I want you to see tonight in verse number 17, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? What God was fixing to do, Brother Steve, was rain, fire, and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm fixing to do? And look what the Word of God said. I'm talking about a worthy man. You say, preacher, there ain't none of us worthy. Now listen to me. In our own right, that's correct. But the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. In our own right, we're not worthy. We're worthy of nothing but hell in our own right. But in Christ, He wants us to walk worthy of the Christian name, worthy of the Christ that bought us, paid for us, and that we serve. The Bible said in verse number 18, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and a mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, look at verse number 19, that he will command his children and his household after him. Abram becomes Abraham. He's blessed of God. And one of the things that set him up for blessing is he was the head of his household, just like God planned it. Listen, that's the way God planned it. That's not the Baptist plan. That's the Bible plan. God intended for the man to be the head of his household, And now listen to me, it goes deeper than that. He intends for Christ to be the head of the man. And I believe Abraham is looking to God. He's worthy. The Bible said, for I know him. He'll command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. He's a worthy man tonight. I thank God tonight for a man that's triumphing in the things of God. He's willing to trust God. He's willing to talk to God. Just like Psalm chapter 4 teaches us to stand in awe of the God of heaven. But let me give you this tonight. This is the way the Lord spoke to my heart. He's not only a willing man and not only a worthy man, but he's watching. He's a man, Brother Steve, that's not consumed with himself. He's watching for somebody else. You say, preacher, where did you get that? Well, let me show you a couple things right quick. The Bible said Abraham drew near. Of course, in verse number 21 or 20, the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because her sin is very grievous. By the way, that sin is still very grievous. It grieves God. The Word of God said, and I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which has come unto me. And if not, I'll know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? He said, peradventure, I believe he starts out with 50. What if there's 50 righteous souls? What if there's 45? What if there's 40? Then I believe it goes to 30 and 20 and 10. He said, I won't destroy it if I can find 10 righteous souls. I've said this for years and I still believe it to be true. There's only one thing keeping the judgment hand of God off of America. That's the remnant. Well, two things. The remnant of God's people and our stand with the nation of Israel. I'm telling you, when you see an administration look like it's turning its back on that little country, we better fear, we better tremble, and we better pray, because I believe the promise is still good. I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curse thee. I believe God's promise never changes. He's a watching man. What's he doing? Let me give you something tonight. Listen to me carefully. I want you to read this with me, please. Go back to chapter 13. Verse 1 and 2. When I read this, it spoke to my heart. The Word of God said, Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, excuse me, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. Look at verse 2. And Abram was, what's that next couple words say? How many believes Abram was very rich, just like the Word of God said? And cattle in silver and in gold. Here's what I want to give you tonight. Here's the thought that crossed my mind. Why in the world would somebody that's very rich in cattle, in silver and gold, for lack of a better way to put it, why would they give a rip about somebody else? There's only one explanation. The heart. He was a man that was not consumed with himself, but he was a man that was standing in awe of the God of heaven. By the way, beloved, listen to me carefully. When we're standing in awe of the God of heaven, then we get interested in what he's interested in. That's why the Bible said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Our desires begin to line up with his desire. I don't believe there's anybody anywhere that wants to see somebody saved any more than our Savior, the one that bled and died for their sin. He's a watching man. The Word of God said, watch and pray. I believe when we're not watching and praying, we're not standing in awe of the God of heaven. And I believe that, listen, you can say whatever you want to, but Abraham knows that it's God that goes down there and literally gets Lot by the hand and leads him and his wife and his daughters. You say, why didn't the son-in-laws came? Because when Lot warned them, the word of God said he seemed to them as one that mocked. His life was a mockery. And I don't know about you, beloved, but there's some things in the word of God, if we didn't have, we wouldn't know for sure. The Bible said that Lot vexed his righteous soul. If that's all I had to go on is what I got right here, Brother Rose, I don't know if I'd have put him among the righteous or not. But I'm telling you, beloved, a believer can get in a bad shape. We looked at David, I believe last Wednesday night. He got in a bad shape. And listen, Lot got in a bad shape. You say, preacher, why do you think he got in a bad shape? Because while he was looking at the well-watered plains, Abram was looking to the Lord. He had his eyes on the temporal. A preacher said this years ago, and I love it. It stuck with me. It said that Lot's choice was based on cattle. Abram's choice was based on children. That stuck with me. Should we make choices in our life based on our substance? Or should we make choices in our life based on our children, based on the others that will be affected by the outcome? I'll give you this tonight. I'm almost done. He's a willing man. He's willing to trust God. He's willing to talk to God. He's a worthy man. He's walking worthy of the vocation wherewith he's called. He's a watching man. He's looking out for others. But I give you this in closing tonight. Abram, now Abraham, is a worshiping man. Let me show you what I mean. I've told you as I come into this message that the Lord is just kind of stirring my heart to let my mind wander a little bit. There's things that I don't know for sure, but I'll give you an idea of where I'm going with that. Look with me at Genesis chapter 17 for just a moment. Genesis chapter number 17, the Bible said, and Abram was 90 years old and nine, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. That goes along with being a worthy. We're talking about now a worshiping man. And he said, I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. There's places where it says, look at the stars. Look at the sand by the seashore. Your seed's going to be more than that. You can't tell me that this man did not at times just stand in awe of the promises of God that he had made to him. And the word of God said in verse number 3, and Abram fell on his face. I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to that one day. I think we ought to fall on our face at times down here if we're physically able. Some people can't even kneel. God's not looking at the position anyway. He's looking at the heart. But if we can kneel, if we can get on our face, get as low as we can. Because you say, preacher, I don't understand why a person would want to do that. Well, the Bible said if we'd humble ourselves, he'll lift us up. In other words, that blessing we talked about a while ago is not going to come to the proud. It's going to come to the humble. It's going to come to the person that realizes, I can't do anything without you, Lord. I need you. The word of God said he fell on his face, and he talked with him and said, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. Now go with me to Genesis 22. I said that Abraham is a worshiping man. And I believe that. He's standing in awe of the goodness and the good things of God. The Word of God said in verse number 1 of Genesis 22, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I." Just a little note on that. When it says tempt, it's not tempting Abraham to do evil. It's more like a test or a trial of Abraham's faith. And by the way, beloved, the Bible did say, I believe it's in the book of Peter, the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth. The Word of God said in verse 2, he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest." God knew Abraham loved Isaac. "And get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." And Abraham rose up early in the morning. You know what I believe? I believe Abraham had already walked with God long enough, Brother Ike. They used to sing a song over at Oak Glen that said, "There's no need to doubt him now. He'll make a way somehow." I believe he had walked with God, and you know, God called him out, and God has blessed him, and God has multiplied, and God has given him a son of promise to Abraham and Sarah in their old age, past childbearing. You say, "Preacher, why did God do it like that?" He wanted everybody to know he did it. I believe he'd do more for us if we just get in a position where we wanted everybody to know he did it. Amen. I believe it's pretty easy now. You say, "Preacher, I don't know if I could swallow that or not." Well, Hebrews 11 teaches us something like this, that Abraham, talking about sacrifice and Isaac, judged him, the Lord, faithful, and that he was able to raise him from the dead. That's how far his faith went. I believe he's ready, willing to stick the knife in his side and stand back and say, "Now, God, it's your turn. Because you said, right there's the seed." That's what Hebrews 11 is saying. He judged him faithful. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to get our eyes off of him, get us in a place where we don't stand in awe, and get us to a place where we believe to think, start believing and thinking that he's not faithful. I can't wait, Brother Ike, to listen to that message. But when I talked to Brother Don, he told me that Brother Jody bore his heart. He said, "I know the promises of Scripture. I know that he said he would never leave me and never forsake me. But in that valley," he said, "I didn't believe it." He said, "Preacher, I wouldn't admit something like that." Why not? The Apostle Paul said, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." He said, "When I would do good, evil's present with me. I do the things that I would do, I don't do. The things that I would not do, I do." I just want you to know tonight, I've been saying this for years. I'm saying it more often now. We don't know what we'll go through before we leave this world. Brother Gary, I don't know if I'll have my right mind or I won't have my right mind. In a moment of time, my whole life can change. He's a worshiping man. Watch this. He rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, he clave the wood, you know the story, for a burnt offering. He rose up and went unto the place which God told him of. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place far off. Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here. I just want to say this. I'll stop and say this. This is pastor's heart. I believe Abraham was seeing something besides the place. But I believe he had his eyes on the person that pointed him to the place. His trust wasn't in the place. His trust was in the one that sent him to the place. The word of God said here, he saw the place. Abram said to his young men, abide here ye with ass. He said, I and the lad will go yonder. And what's that word? I tell you this tonight. Listen to me carefully. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm including my own self. I just don't know for sure if worship is what I'd have on my mind. If it was going to require my boy. Could somebody help me tonight? But Abraham had his eyes on the Lord. He trusted him. The Bible said Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. And when it said that, he was believing God concerning the promise of a son. He's going to worship. And I like this. It's prophetic. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and, look at it, come again. Whether the knife falls or whether the knife don't fall, we're coming back. That's what he said. That lines up with Hebrews 11. He judged him faithful. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something right now. Chuck Todd needs to get a hold of this. This is not a fairy tale. This is the word of God. Amen. Judged him faithful. You come on down through there. What a conversation. Isaac spake to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood. Where's the lamb? You remember a while ago we read a verse that said, I know him. He'll command his children after him. Brother, according to that verse right there, Isaac knew that when you offered a sacrifice, something had to give its life. Ain't that right? Daddy had already taught him. That's what I believe about Adam and Eve. God slayed the first animals and made coats of skins. I don't believe that Cain and Abel were ignorant. I believe their mom and dad had taught them that God requires blood. Where's the lamb, Dad? I love this. My son, God will provide himself a lamb. The word worship comes from a word that's talking about one that's worthy. Abraham's going up on the mountain and he's saying, God, you give him to me. You're worthy of all that I am. You're worthy of all that I have. I don't believe it's possible, Brother Steve, without standing in awe of the God that called you out. The God that you've trusted. The word of God said here, they came to the place God told him of, and Abram built an altar there, and he laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son, laid him upon the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him in a ram caught in the thicket. Behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Now listen to me carefully. He talks about the name of the place there in verse number 14. Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. I believe that Abraham was seeing something besides Isaac, something besides the altar, something besides the ram. I can't prove this. I don't have scripture for it. But Brother Steve, it would seem to me that very soon after this ordeal, Abraham found him a place to fall on his face once again and worship the God of heaven. I wonder, let me ask you this question. Isaac's walking close enough to Dad that he understands the principle of sacrifice. If a man is in the habit of building altars, in a habit of worshiping God, in a habit of talking to God, somewhere or another, Brother Houston, your son's going to overhear that, ain't he? And I wonder, Brother Houston, if somewhere Isaac didn't fall on his face and say, God, thank you for the ram. Here comes Abraham and Isaac. Oh, if we could get this in our heart. The trial of all trials, the test of all tests, is fixing to take place upon this man. Here comes Abraham and Isaac. But here comes the ram. The ram was unseen. I promise you this. When we get to heaven, we're going to understand then, if we don't understand before, that there's a whole lot went on in our lives that was unseen. And I don't believe anybody will have to beg us to fall on our face. I told somebody the other day, where was I? We're talking about the rapture. I can't remember where I was or who I was talking to now. But I told them before I got saved, those years that I was a church member, I learned about the rapture and I thought it was cute. I really didn't see anything wrong with what I was saying at the time, but I would say many times, Brother Gary, maybe somebody like you or Brother Charlie, I'd say, now if Jesus comes, look over and wave on the way up. That sounds okay, I guess. But I want you to know I wasn't saved long, Brother Steve, and God said, you're foolish. When I come, you won't be looking over and waving. Brother Wayne, our eyes will be glued. Glued on him. And I just want to say tonight in closing, we don't have to wait till he comes. By faith, Brother Steve, we can stand in awe of the one that called us out. But he's not done calling. There's a day coming he's going to step on a cloud and call again. And we're going out. I'm just glad you come tonight. I appreciate y'all's prayers. I really, listen, I'm not saying this in a mean way. Brother Steve, I think, has said it over and over. Brother Brian has said it at times. You just got to love Wednesday night. I do. I love it. Amen. I believe the Lord just has a special blessing, don't you? For those that will take some time and go down the house of God. All hearts and minds clear.